Good morning. It's lovely to be with you again. We'll pray, shall we? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come into thy holy presence. That is, we continue before thee, our Father. Sometimes we find difficulty in trying to express that sense of gratitude and thankfulness which we have in our Lord Jesus, who died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried. And the third day rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures. All these things lie upon our hearts heavy at times because we realize it was for us. So we've sung this quiet, peaceful, sacred song together to save a wretch like me. So, Father, as we take thy holy word in our hands and speak a little now and trust thee to open the eyes of our understanding to meet the needs of our hearts, we trust thee in all of this. We pray, gracious Father, that we all with one accord, when we leave this place this morning in thy will, it will be with resolve in our hearts to be better Christians. We ask this in the name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus, who died for us. And Father, may the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We're reading from 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. My text this morning is also taken from Peter, from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, which says, grow in grace, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a man by the name of Louis Palau. He's an evangelist and a pastor in South America. He was having great success at a campaign, and people were being added to the local church there. And not complacently, but pleasantly so, he was looking at these people that were gathering and was feeling quite pleased about it. And then suddenly, something struck him. And he said, we're not growing. We're just getting fat. You see, there's a difference between adding numbers to a fellowship and those members of that fellowship growing. And he had this realization. They were just adding numbers. But as far as their spiritual lives were concerned, there was a lot that was left to be desired. So the question can arise in our hearts and minds this morning, am I growing in grace? And am I growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus? You know, it's one thing to grow in the knowledge of gospel truth and doctrinal issues. But how about growing in grace? How about learning more about the Lord Jesus, His ways? You know, we can be heavy on some of those things, crossing our T's and dotting our I's, and we can sometimes be pretty ordinary when it comes to things like compassion and love and affections and help and all these things. And I think this is what it is here. You see, to a mere Christian, this inquiry would not hold any sort of consideration or interest. The person who has nothing more than a Sunday religion cannot be expected to give much account to growing in grace and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. However, to everyone who has an honest, and I mean honest, resolution to grow in the Lord. In other words, as the Bible says, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, that becomes a different thing. In fact, it comes with a conviction. Am I growing? Is my life starting to take on qualities of Christ? Am I showing those aspects of growing in grace which draw people to me as though they would be drawn to Christ? That's what it's saying here. You know, my saddest experience in my years in child welfare, I was with them for a long time, 20 odd years, and one of my saddest experiences was going to a birthday of a little boy who was 4 years of age. It was his fourth birthday. The family were on my caseload. The wife had been deserted. She had two older daughters, and she had this little boy, 4 years of age. And I was invited to his fourth birthday, you know, with the four candles, and took a little gift along and was with him. But that little boy never grew. His features, you know, the puppy fat that little babies get, that was gone, and he was getting an infant's look. But in size, he had never grown. And he used to lie in this little hammock that his mother had made for him so that she could push him when she was ironing or cooking or anything, and she would have him there. 4 years of age, and he had never grown. I think that was one of my saddest experiences in all my years in child welfare. But there's something even more sad. And that is the man or woman, the young man or woman, the older person, who, having put their faith and trust in Christ and taken from Him the salvation He gives, never grow. They're right where they were back then. That's sadder. That's even more sad than that little boy. That little boy's assurance was confirmed. His mother loved him. His sisters loved him. And God loved him. Even though he never grew. But it wasn't his fault. It is our fault if we do not grow in grace and increase in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Pardon me. Let us realize that there is a thing, such a thing as growing in grace. We can grow. We should grow. When we speak of growth, of course, we do not mean that a believer can grow in security and safety. It doesn't mean that at all. When Paul, the apostle, wrote to the church at Colossae, he said to them very clearly, to the poorest believer, if you like, the weakest believer, he said to them, your lives are hid with Christ in God. So we cannot grow in security and safety in our salvation. It's fixed. Your lives are hid with Christ in God. The weakest, the strongest. There it is. And it doesn't mean either that a believer can grow more justified, more pardoned, more forgiven. Doesn't mean that at all. From the moment he acknowledged Christ as his Savior, he was justified. Right from that very moment. You see, justification is a perfect work. It's a complete work. We cannot be more justified than we are when we come to Christ. So the weakest believer, though they may not know it, though they may not feel it, is as justified as the strongest saint in any church throughout the world. You see, we cannot grow in those things. No one can add to their justification. But hallelujah, no one can take anything away. We are justified. It is God that justifies. Never lose sight of that. However, what do we mean then when we talk of growing in grace? It really means an increase or a strengthening of those virtues and graces that the Spirit of God placed in our hearts when we first came to know Him, the Lord Jesus, as our Savior. And these virtues, these graces, are subject to increase. They're subject to growth. They're subject to progress. They're not there as a sort of dead thing. They are subject to increase, to growth. You know, things like humility. My, that's a good one, isn't it? Fancy growing in humility. It also means growing, perhaps, in courage. These are the things you see. And in faith, and hope, and love, and repentance. These virtues and graces that were placed there in our hearts at the beginning of our Christian life. These are subject to increase, to improvement, to growth. And that's what it means. Look at the Apostle Paul. Pardon me. In Acts 15, we see him there in contention with Barnabas. Now, according to the way I read the life of Barnabas, he was an easy sort of lad, fellow to get on with. In fact, that's why he was called Barnabas, son of consolation. He seemed to have had a nature that was humble and accepting and kindly. But here is Paul, that great apostle, in contention with him. No way am I going to take Mark with me again. It just says in typical Bible language, there was contention among them. That was Paul. Later on, as we get through the scriptures and we come to Philippians, he's in jail. He's in prison. And he's waiting to be offered. And he speaks about, I have learned, he says. I have learned. Paul had actually increased and grown in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. So much so that when he wrote to that last letter to Timothy, he said, send Mark to me. I need him for the ministry. This same Mark, that no way was he going to take him out with him again. And here he is, writing to Timothy and saying, send Mark to me. If the great Apostle Paul had to learn, how much more little you and I need to learn to grow in grace and to increase in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we speak of a person growing, we really mean in the sense that they become more conscious of sin in their lives. Their faith grows stronger. Their hope goes brighter. Their love becomes more intensive. And so on. These are the things we are talking. But this is not talking about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. This is talking about those virtues and graces which the Spirit of God puts in our hearts at the beginning as we start to walk with the Lord. Nothing to do with the gifts. You know something? We can have the gift of ministry. We can have the gift of preaching. And we can be as hard as nails. I've met preachers like that. You can't get alongside of them. No, this is something different. This is growing in grace. This is increasing in the knowledge of Christ. Wouldn't you like to have been around that day when he was walking on this earth and rubbed shoulders with him and listened to him and watched his ways? He would have had such an effect upon us, wouldn't he? Well, in a sense, he still walks with us by his Spirit. And there should be no less a desire in our hearts to be walking with him. And that's what it's talking about here. Such a person that does this is going from strength to strength. And the best way to describe it is this. They're growing in grace. And they are increasing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And Scripture itself, pardon me, Scripture itself is the ground upon which we come to this conclusion. That growth in grace is a biblical thing. There is such a thing as growing in grace. Now, Paul sets this before us very clearly in the letters he wrote to the churches, mostly when he was in prison. In Ephesians chapter 4, he writes, that you may grow up in him in all things. Growing to maturity in Christ. And that maturity is spelled out in terms of growing in grace. And increasing in the knowledge of Christ himself. Casting off childish things, shallow things, foolish things, old things. That's what it means. Growing up in him in all things. Then he wrote to the church in Philippi, chapter 1 again. I pray that your love may abound. No, it says, I pray that your love may abound more and more. Those who abound in any virtue, in any grace, are told here to abound even more. Don't stop. Keep going. That's what it's saying in this. Why is that? Because we are imperfect. Even in the most and the best of our attainments, we are imperfect. Remember the servants in Luke 17? They were working hard, sweating, and at the end they said, but after all what we've done, we are still, what? Unprofitable servants. So even though we may be abounding in some virtue or grace, we need to abound more and more. These are the words of the apostle to the churches around. Then he wrote to the church in Colossae, again chapter 1. Pardon me. And he said to them that he wanted them to increase in the knowledge of God. You see, there is a difference in the knowledge of the person and the knowledge of Scripture when it comes to doctrines or gossip or truth. You know, like the millennium, the coming of Christ. But this is something different. This is the knowledge of God, his character. We need to increase in our knowledge of the character of the Lord Jesus. That's what we need to do. Why is that? So that we become like him. There's one thing I've noticed, you've probably noticed too, when people get older that are married, often they become like one another. I don't mean physically, but in their thinking and their outlook. Often they do. When we find ourselves truly walking with the Lord, growing in grace and in the knowledge of him, we become like him. We become like him. So Paul, the apostle, wrote there. Again, he wrote to the church in Thessalonica. He said, we beseech you that you increase more and more. This church in Thessalonica, they gave good evidence of walking with God in their benevolence and their affection and their love for the churches in Macedonia. It was proverbial. And yet still, the exhortation is, increase more and more. When Paul wrote to that church in Colossae, they were pretty well up with their doctrines and the truths of the scripture that they had. And yet he says to them, increase in the knowledge of God. The person of the Godhead. That's what we need to know. That's what we need to improve in. And growing in grace. I must confess, I have a confession to make. I love to watch the Olympic swimmers on television. I love sport generally anyway. I played a lot when I was a lad, would you believe? But I love to watch the swimmers, the gold medal people. And there's an expression they use. Interestingly, the swimmers and the coaches, they talk about their PB. The swimmer, whoever it might be, talks about his PB, his personal best. His personal best. He talk about this peak. You know, in the Christian life, there's no peak. There's no ceiling. There's no getting to a point that we say, that's it. You see, all the time, the exhortation here is to increase, to abound more and more. There is no peak. There never comes a time when we've arrived. We press on. And on, and on, by the grace of God. That's what happens. We increase more and more. In Corinthians, when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, having hope that your faith may increase. And in Peter, again, he made it very clear. Desire, he said, this is in 1 Peter chapter 2, desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? That you might grow thereby. See, this is not knowledge he's talking about. This is life. This is the heart. This is getting those things on board which are profitable for our growth in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Is there anyone like him? Of course not. Of course not. And strong desires and affections to the Word of God will be evidence in many ways of a person's desire to grow in grace and increase in the knowledge of God. Growth in grace, in actual fact, is the best evidence of spiritual health and prosperity. Time's going, so we press on a little here. It may seem an unusual thing. Actually, it's a wonderful thing to know that we can actually give pleasure to the Most High. We can actually give pleasure to the Most High. Can you believe that? Growing in grace does that. It does that very thing. It gives pleasure to the Most High. Because when Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, chapter 4, he says they were walking to please God. Walking to please God. And we are taught in the Holy Scriptures how to walk. Not how to talk, but how to walk. It tells us so clearly. We are not only to persevere to the end, but we are to grow. We are to grow. We should get better. I should be a better person today than I was this time last year. In some degree or another, I should be a better person today than I was a year ago. And we, all of us, should be better Christians today than we were at our conversion. Oh my, yes. Yes. It's not just persevering to the end, hanging in there, oh, this is tough, you know, sort of thing. But growing. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Because time's going, I must cut this short. But at home, by my desk, where I sit and study, and I've got a sort of a statement type thing. It's printed. It's not something I've written. It's printed. And especially for older people. Especially written for older people. But you young ones can listen to. And it commences with these words. And I quote, Lord, thou knowest better than I know myself that I am getting older. And one day, I shall be old. I've hit that part, by the way. One day, I should be old. Then he goes on to recite some very amusing truisms. And I quote again, "With my vast store of wisdom, it seems such a pity not to use it all. But Lord, thou knowest that at the end I want a few friends." It's a beauty, isn't it? But then he goes on again, "Teach me the glorious lesson that sometimes I may be wrong." But this is the one that I try to keep on board. Not always successfully. "Keep me reasonably sweet. I do not ask to be a saint. Some of them are so hard to get on with. But a sour old person is one of the crowning works of the devil. A sour old person is one of the works, crowning works of the devil." Brothers and sisters here, we are all getting older. It's only as we grow in grace that we will not finish up a sour old person. You see, growing in grace will surely eliminate any possibility of growing up to be bitter, sour, hard to get on with. And what it does in turn, it lifts our voices in praise. We read this actually in chapter 13 of Hebrews. What does it say there? The sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips. It comes from a grateful and thankful heart, which is acknowledging the grace of God in the life. Do you know, if I gave a testimony here, I would have to start off with words like this. "Once I was a cursing, swearing, fighting sailor. But the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all," hasn't he? Denying, it says, so denying self-centeredness, we honor him and glorify and magnify his name. You see, and that's what happened. The sacrifice of praise. Pardon me. I'm nearly at the end. You're so patient. But this growing in grace, the Lord takes pleasure in all his people. But according to the Bible, especially with those who are growing in grace. John 15. What does it say? "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bring forth much fruit." He has pleasure in those who are growing in grace, because those who are growing in grace are honoring the Father and therefore bringing fruit in their lives. Their very acknowledgement is like fruit. And that's what it's saying here. Growing in grace. Not only a thing possible in the lives of the believers, but a thing for which we are accountable. Pardon me. I'll just close with this little story. Quite a true story, actually. One day there was this crowd of children, primary school children, and they visited the studio of a well-known sculptor. And as they were going around looking at all these stone images, the stonework that he'd done, carvings and that, there was these little children were oohing and aahing, you see, and their eyes were as big as teacups as they were looking at all these wonderful works of sculpture. But there was one which took the imagination of these children very, very much. And it was the statue of a lion, a regal, fierce-looking lion that was gazing stonily down at these children. And they were mesmerized by this lion. And one of the little boys plucked up courage and said to the sculptor himself, "Please, sir, how did you get to make this lion look so lifelike?" And the sculptor said to the children generally, and this little boy in particular, he said, "Well, it was easy." Pardon me. He said, "It was easy, really." He said, "I chipped away at everything that didn't look like a lion." Growing in grace increasing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus is chipping away at everything which is not Christ-like. Growing in grace, increasing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, is chipping away in our lives everything that is not in His likeness, that is not like the Lord Jesus. That's growing in grace and increasing in the knowledge of Christ. Brothers and sisters, how are we doing? How are we doing? Let's pray, shall we?